Good morning, church family. It is a privilege to be able to communicate God's word to you this morning, and hope that you've been looking forward to our time together, because I have. And I'm going to pray with you to begin, and then we'll dig in to Hebrews chapter 11. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the ability to communicate with one another in this way, that your word is not bound. That it goes forward, Lord, and touches the hearts and the minds of the people, God, that you want to communicate with through preaching, through social media, just like we're using this morning. So we want to be grateful people, God, as we encounter you in your word. Please bless this time. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you today about home. Home. I have lived in South Buffalo for almost 7 years, and I don't know how many times I have been asked in the time that I've been here, where are you from? And so often I'll try to be funny, I guess, and say something like, well, I'm from down South Buffalo, you know, and that might get a little bit of a chuckle from the folks as they laugh at my pitiful joke, because they know that I'm from far further south than just South Buffalo. And I think if they were to ask the question just a little bit differently, if they were to ask where my home is, I might struggle to answer that question a little bit more than the one that they normally ask. Because on the one hand, my home is right here. It's right here in this community. My home is always where my family is. My home is where I go back to each and every night and find comfort there. I'm comfortable there. It's in my own space. It's my place of security. That's where my home is. But the thought of home, the word home, brings to mind all sorts of things that aren't here in this community, not during this time. It's something that I reflect on and think back on. It takes me back to something prior, things that have happened in the past, things that shaped me, things that are nostalgic. It's my heritage. It's where memories come from. Home is the smell of a field. Home is hot summer nights, creeks, a sense of belonging. Home is a place that in some ways I can't currently grab a hold of right now. And it's not because I'm here in South Buffalo instead of being down south. Soon I'm gonna be traveling back to that part of the country. And when I'm there, I might feel a little bit closer to home than what I do right now. But I still won't be home. I won't be home. In recent days, I have been yearning for home. Home. And what my mind might mistake to belong in the fields and the hills of Tennessee or Kentucky, the Word of God points me to a place that is not back there somewhere in my past, but the Word of God points me to the future. To a place that's called home, that's out there in front of me. The old saying is that you can't go home again. But for the Christian, there is a place ahead of us that satisfies the desire of a heart that wants to go home. It is, as the inspired writer says in Hebrews chapter 11, it is a better country, a heavenly country. That's what we look forward to. The passage I'm going to read to you this morning serves as a good reminder of what we are in this world and where home is. Hebrews chapter 11, starting at verse 13, I'll read through verse 16. It says, "These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. 3 points today in this message, three things that I want you to grab a hold of, three truths that I hope will stir your hearts for home. Home. The first one is the faithful people of God are strangers and pilgrims on the earth. I changed that exiles to pilgrims in some translations. That's what it says, that we are strangers and pilgrims here on the earth. One man in his comments helpfully said that to be a stranger means that you are away from home. To be a stranger means you're away from home, but to be a pilgrim means that you are going home. And so we are away from our home right now, but we are moving toward our home too. We're away, but traveling to our home. So Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that's the main subjects of this text are the people of Abraham here in Hebrews chapter 11. And so Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they were promised a land that only their descendants would ever truly own. And so these men, these patriarchs, these great men of God, they never owned for themselves a back 40, not 40 acres, not 40 feet. They didn't own anything. But God had promised to them that the land would be theirs. It would be theirs. So you ask the question, when? When is the land going to be theirs? When's it going to belong to them? When will they possess it? When will they live in it? When will they experience the joy of having a permanent residence in the land of promise? So Abraham left a place that he could call home for a place that he could never call home, not in his earthly life. And why did he do that? Was it just so that he could have a heritage for his great-grandchildren? Was that what he had in mind when he left? So that they could have something better than he did? There's more to the story than that, isn't there? The promised land in Canaan was an earthly picture of a heavenly reality. It was an earthly picture of a heavenly reality. And Abraham, we're told, he saw and greeted those things that were promised from afar. He was looking toward them and he could see them. And he would wave at them. The word literally means salute. He saluted them from afar. And he was willing to live as a foreigner in a tent during his entire earthly life there in Canaan, because he knew that something far better was waiting for him in the future. There was a place that Abraham's earthly, natural eyes couldn't see, but his spiritual eyes could, and he greeted it. If you are a child of God, you are a descendant of Abraham. Not because you're a part of his natural family tree, but because you are a part of his spiritual family tree. You're not a part of his bloodline, but you're a part of his faith line. That's how you're connected to Abraham. The promise of a place called home, just like it was given to Abraham so many years ago, has also been given to you. And that place is not here yet. You are a stranger and you are a pilgrim while you're here, and you simply greet it from afar. I think we can forget from time to time that we are strangers and pilgrims here, and we start to live like permanent residents. Like this is all that there is. We start to expect that this is our little slice of heaven on earth. And we're surprised when things aren't easy. We're surprised when we suffer. We're surprised when we lose jobs or we get sick. We don't have enough income. For most people, these last couple of months with this virus. It has only been an inconvenience to you, but by the grace of God, it is a blessed inconvenience. It's a needed inconvenience to remind you that you are only a stranger and a pilgrim here on earth. This is a fallen world. It's a place of disease and discomfort and disillusionment and ultimately death. It's a broken world and a hard world. It always has been that way. But there are times when that reality begins to be hidden from our sight to the point where we get way too comfortable and we start to forget who we belong to and where we belong to. We start to live like we're in the promised land already, and God gives us that sweet reminder that no, you're still in the wilderness right now. You're still traveling to the promised land. Brothers and sisters, we're just passing through. That's what we're doing here. We're passing through. We're being trained now for what we're going to have later. This is not our home. Thank God for that, because He has promised us a better country, a heavenly country. That's the first point. The second one, second truth to take from this passage is that this world cannot satisfy your heart's hunger for home. It can only awaken it. This world will not satisfy your heart's hunger for home. It only wakes it up. Nobody is satisfied to stay a stranger and a pilgrim forever. Nobody wants to live like that forever. Abraham didn't, and neither do you. You want to go home. You want to travel toward home. God has put inside of you a desire to go and be where you belong. I've told some of you this story before in the past about a dog that I got when I was a teenager. Picked the dog up at an animal shelter and took it back home with me. I think it was a golden retriever, smart dog. And we lived way out in the country. And at nights, I would hang out with my friends out in a parking lot. My kids, I tell them that from time to time. That's kind of what we did for fun. We would hang out and sit in our cars in the parking lot and talk. And they find that kind of strange. But one night, as I was sitting there in the parking lot, I looked over and here comes this dog. And it's my dog, the one that I just recently got. And we're miles from home, and here he is traveling right through the parking lot that I'm sitting in. And I think to myself, you know, what luck. That's my dog. I'm going to take him home. And I did. Loaded him up and took him way back out there in the country. Well, that dog was not going to stay there because he knew that it was not his home. So he immediately leaves again, and I wasn't there to intercept him this time. And he eventually gets back to where he belongs. And the owners call and say, you know, I guess they found out who had adopted the dog from the animal shelter or something. And they called and said he had made it back home. He was not satisfied to live in a temporary residence. He wanted to go home. God has put a hunger for home inside of His people that cannot be satisfied in this temporary place. We can't be satisfied here. We yearn for our permanent home, the place where we belong. And the memories from our past, they might awaken that hunger for home, but they can never quench it. They can never satisfy it. So here we have in this passage, it's describing a man, Abraham, who wanted a home. He wanted a home. And if his home had been somewhere here on this earth, we're told in verse 15 that he could have just gone back there to it. If the homeland was describing Ur of the Chaldees, he could have packed up his stuff at any time and gone back there. You have to imagine that when Abraham was here, you know, or there, that the Canaanites would look at him from time to time and say, you know what, Abraham, if you're homesick, why don't you just go back? You've got people back there. You got a house that you don't have to pick up and move around every so often. Why don't you go back? You have to imagine that Abraham would have said to him, no, you just don't understand. That place might be where I'm from, but it's not my home. It's not my home. A Christian is, in a sense, while we're here on earth, homeless. We're homeless. But that same Christian is not satisfied to stay that way. We don't want to stay homeless. We're not satisfied to be strangers and pilgrims forever. We want a homeland. That's what Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they wanted, a homeland. They were seeking it. We're seeking our homeland too. Last week I was riding in the car, and this sense of incompleteness, dissatisfaction, frustration rose up inside of my heart, and the thought came into my head, I want heaven. I want to go home. And I don't mean in a desperate, I'm about to hurt myself kind of way, desire for home. Not like that. But there was just this yearning, this hunger that was inside of me for that perfect place. That perfect place that God has promised to those that love Him. Revelation 21 describes it like this. He, God, will dwell with them, and they will be His people. And God Himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. That's what God has promised to His people, a place of perfection, a place of delight where no pain and suffering exists anymore, but where God Himself lives, and He lives there with His people. So are you earnestly and eagerly seeking your homeland? Are you wanting to be there? Are you desiring it? Do you think much, or do you think at all on heaven? Does it rest on your mind and in your heart? Do you yearn for home? Do you greet it from afar as the faithful, wandering Abraham did? Do you see it? Can you see it? You see, good memories are the places that we greet from afar that are back there in our past. That's what good memories are, aren't they? We're remembering something that has happened to us before, something we remember fondly. But faith teaches us to greet from afar what we haven't yet seen, but we know is coming. And the Lord is teaching our hearts before we have ever even been there to have memories of heaven. He gives us sightings of that place, spiritual sightings that come by faith before we have ever seen it with our eyes, and these make us long to be there with Him. Heaven has broken through from the future or outside of this realm. It has broken through into our hearts as we have trusted in Jesus Christ. It has taken up residence in here where I can see something of heaven. The Holy Spirit inside of us testifies that there is a land flowing with milk and honey, a place that will satisfy every holy desire that we have. He shows us that by faith. Can you see it? 1 Corinthians 2 says, "What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit." So it's saying that just the natural mind is not even capable, it's not even capable of seeing, hearing, imagining anything of what God has prepared for those that love Him. But yet the Spirit of God in us gives us a glimpse. He testifies to us. All those longings for home don't ultimately point us to a place that we have been before. It points us to a place where we are going. It wakes up this desire for home that can only be satisfied in heaven. Abraham knew that Ur wasn't what his heart wanted. wasn't what his heart wanted. As much as I love my former homeland, going there won't fill my heart. Only heaven can. Right now, God is giving us a wonderful opportunity to look forward to heaven. Not just look forward to getting everything back to the way that we had it before. Not just getting normal routines back. Not just getting jobs back. The economy. As great as those things are, as nice as those things are, if that's all that we get back out of this, we will have missed the blessing of it all. God is making our hearts hungry for home. Not for what we have here, but what we have with Him. Last truth, last principle from our passage is that death is the doorway to home. Death is the doorway to home. Verse 13 says that these, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they all died in faith, not having received the things that were promised. They died without having them. It took crossing over death to have death, to cross over into what had been promised to these men. To the natural, the unholy man of the world, death is the great enemy. It's the great enemy. Everything collapses for him when death comes knocking at his door. But for the Christian, death is the sweet call of a Savior to come home. Jesus Christ has conquered death by giving His own life for ours. He died in our place so that we can share in His life. We believe in that. That everything that He has becomes ours through faith. His home where Jesus is right now, becomes ours through faith. And we'll have to cross over through death to be able to get it. Because of that, a Christian cannot see COVID-19 like the rest of the world does. We don't see it with the same eyes. Now, we're going to protect ourselves. We're going to protect our loved ones, our neighbors, everybody made in the image of God. We're going to show love and seek their good, but we will not live as those who have no hope beyond the grave. It does not mean that we're rushing headlong into it. But it does mean that we're not going to live like everybody else does, because we know that this is not our home. And death grants to us life with Jesus forever in a perfect place. And we want that. This virus has served a good purpose in the hands of a sovereign God to remind us that death is a real thing in this world that so often wants to hide the truth of death, to almost pretend like it's not really there, to hide everything that reminds us of death. We tuck away into a corner, but this virus has brought that out in the open, that death is a very real thing that is absolutely unavoidable. But as Christians, we know that death does not have the final say. Jesus Christ, our Lord, does. It points the faithful to the beautiful truth that we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear, but we can look with confidence at death because home is on the other side. And it's a home that was bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. In a couple of recent sermons, I've quoted John Bunyan's book, Pilgrim's Progress. And I think my favorite part of that book is the very end. When Christian and his good friend Hopeful have been on this tough but exciting journey, and they finally come to this great river, and the river is representative of death. And you've got to cross over, and there's no way around it. There's no way over it. The two men have to go through the river. They have to go through death. And so they step into the water, and immediately Christian He starts to struggle and he starts to sink, plummet toward the bottom, and he's starting to get frantic and he's thinking to himself, I've come all this way. Is this the way that it's going to end? I'm not going to get to the celestial city. I'm not going to be able to get to home. And he loses sight of Jesus. And thankfully, he has his good friend Hopeful there with him. And this is what Hopeful says. He says, be of good cheer. Jesus Christ makes you whole. And with that, Christian broke out with a loud voice, oh, I see him again. And he tells me, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overtake you. Then they both took courage. And the enemy was, after that, as still as a stone until they were gone over. Christian therefore presently found ground to stand on. Jesus was his ground in that moment of death. Found ground to stand on, and so it followed that the rest of the river was but shallow. And the two men crossed to the other side. And when they got there, they were greeted by shining ones who escorted them to the celestial city. And they got there to the gate, and the narrator describes the things that he saw there. And I just want you to remember that what Bunyan here is describing is our home. In the best language that he could, he's describing what home looked like. And he says, now I saw in my dream that these two men went in at the gate, and as they entered, they were changed, and they had clothes put on that shone like gold. There were also those that met them with harps and crowns and gave them to them, the harps to praise with and the crowns in token of honor. Then I heard in my dream that all the bells in the city rang again for joy, and that it was said unto them, enter ye into the joy of your Lord. I also heard the men themselves, and they sang with a loud voice, saying, blessing, honor, glory, and power be to him that sits upon the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Now just as the gates were opened to let the men in, I looked in after them. And behold, the city shone like the sun. The streets also were paved with gold, and in them walked many men, with crowns on their heads, palms in their hands, and golden harps to sing praises with. There were also of them that had wings, and they answered one another without intermission, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And after that, they shut up the gates, which when I had seen what was there, I wished myself among them. The narrator here, he's describing how he caught a glimpse of home and he wanted to be there. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ has given us the promise of home. The promise of home and a glimpse of that beautiful place, and we want to be there too. We're hungry for home. There's something inside of our hearts that wishes to be there among the great family of God, singing His praises in a place of absolute perfection. We will be with Him, and our God will be there with us. Our passage in Hebrews, it closes with a promise that says, therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. These people who are longing and looking for heaven by faith, trusting in His promises, He is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. Home. I hope these last couple of months and our time together this morning has stirred in your heart a hunger for home. God bless.